Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. I want to start quickly tonight because I have four guests on, and these are women that I've known most of my life, my adolescent life, and some I haven't seen in a long time, haven't heard from in a long time, so this is kind of a reunion, so I want to give us as much time to speak as possible. But I do want to do a little housekeeping. I want to make sure that you all know if you want to call in and ask any of us questions or say hello, you can dial in 516-453-6063, but you must press the number 1, then that way I will know that you have a question or you want to say something. And remember, there are over 70 episodes now, and it is at blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, and the number 2. You can go back and listen to all of the episodes from the very beginning all the way back in 2021. And this is why the pandemic is a good thing for me, because it did put me in this direction, and one of the things that we talk about here is the sustaining of the arts. Now, tonight, we are going to be talking about how the arts started in my life and why these women had a lot to do with it, because we all went to high school together. These four women were all in my class at George Washington High School up in Washington Heights, New York. It's not the same high school as it was then, but when we went there, there were 5,000 students there on a campus that looked like it, and it still does look like, it looks like it's a college campus. We all enjoyed a great deal of activities. They're in this, or on my guest tonight, you've got two dancers, we've got writers, they're poets, they've written books. I've got one book here, and I'm going to get another one. One is an e-book, and I'll be able to enjoy that. They're all teachers in their own right or social workers. They all have bachelor's and master's degree. I am the only one in this group that has not gotten my master's. Every time I apply and get approval to one university or another, then here comes a project. So I'm the one left out, but these divas have all gone to do some wonderful things. So I'm going to take it one lady and person at a time. So I'm going to start with someone who you're familiar with. You're familiar with Deborah Budrum, because Debbie has come on several times as a guest in my town hall. She's also been an educator when we did the panel on education, as did another one of my guests. So I will kind of read down some of her pared-down experiences. She was born and raised in Harlem. I believe all of us are native New Yorkers, but we'll get to that in conversation. She went to George Washington at high school. She got a B.S. in education at City. Then she got the M.S. in education at Antioch College. She has been a daycare teacher and a daycare director for 3 years. She taught in the New York City Board of Education elementary school teacher from 1983 to 2013, but she was also an adjunct professor at the College of New Rochelle from 1982 to 2015. She got the Teacher of the Year award in the Department of Education in 97, and she was awarded by former students to be listed in the text of Who's Who in America's Teaching. Now, this is a woman I've known since the 10th grade, and I remember we were in English class, and I turned around and was the most wonderful, beautiful face that smiled at me. And it was the beginning of a friendship that has lasted that long. The next person that comes along. Oh, but first I want her to say hello. Hey, say hello, Debbie Fudge.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and good evening, my longtime friend.
Say again.
Said good evening to everyone, and I want to say hi to all my longtime friends that are on tonight.
Yes, it's a reunion of the G-Dub females here. Now, the next one I will refer to as Reverend Debbie McKeever. Now, Debbie went to G-Dub. I don't know if Debbie started at G-Dub. I thought she was transferred, but I'm sure she's going to tell me and correct me in a minute. And I remember the most thing about Debbie is the fact that she ran track, and she used to always be concerned about what she was eating and when she had to go to track practice and all this other kind of stuff, that she was on the track team. And she went on to graduate from G-Dub, get her master's from Queens College, and self-produce and publish her book, and I have it in front of me, From Bar Stools to Church Pews. Because we're talking about Reverend Debbie McKeever now. She graduated One Spirit Seminary in 2015, and she was ordained interfaith minister in 2015. She is retired, she's engaged, and she's going to tell you the rest of the things that she likes to do. But I tell you that she does enjoy her quiet time to connect with God. Now, the next person is, again, a writer. Now, Debbie's a writer. Debbie McKeever's a writer. Here comes another writer. And my memory, and we caught up a little bit today. Oh, wait, before I go on. McKeever, say hello.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight?
Hello.
Hi.
A person of little words, but don't let her fool you. We're going to get her talking tonight. The next person that I'm going to introduce, because there are four women, is a person who I remember deeply being in leaders with her, as well as I was in leaders with many people. I mean, I think, Debbie, you were there too. And leaders was a portion of the gym where you were a junior leader and you helped out with attendance and everything, and you read, you didn't have the green gym suit, you had the red, and then you took some exams, and then you had the white gym suit, and it was always starched, and we all looked fabulous on Fridays, because that's what I did.
Oh, Lord.
She said, dip my suit in a starch thing with starches, because I wanted it to just spread out and be fabulous. That was one of the things. And Lindley was in that club. But Lindley, I have to say, is a retired licensed clinical social worker. She's a psychotherapist and a psycho. Oh, I can't
That's
say it.
That's it,
right
psycho.
Right.
That's it.
Psycho, huh? Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Love you, Lily.
The hypotherapist. A psychotherapist. You are stop. We are not going to stop. Continue this on this radio program. You all are going to let me talk and say this now, right? Okay. She graduated from GW, and she graduated a little bit before us, because she graduated, I don't know if you all remember, she graduated in January. So she went on
right.
to State College. Yes, she didn't graduate in June with the rest of us. And she got a degree in English secondary education. Then she went to the Peace Corps. I don't know if all of you knew that. I didn't know that. She was in Tunisia and North Africa. Then she came back. She got a master's degree from Hunter College. Thank you. We are alumni there. She's written a book called, an e-book called I Am With You Always, Amazon. However, this diva, I have to say, has about 10, I went on to read about her. She has 10 things that she has accomplished in the field that she's in, and she's going to go on and tell us about it, because I can't even pronounce some of those things. And, Lindley, you're going, because I'm not going to mispronounce it, you're going to tell us what that name is that you have. So, Lindley, say hello to everyone.
Greetings, everyone, especially to my old friends that I haven't heard from, and oh, God, I'm sending you all a virtual hug.
Oh.
Yes,
great
we will all get a chance
to see each other in the Zoom part, and I suspect that anyone who's listening to this, that you should go to Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, and you will be able to see all of us together, and this is really a reunion of five women who really went to school every day and saw each other just about every day. Now, my last guest, Daryl A. Young. I can remember Daryl A. Daryl A., you were in Leaders, weren't you?
Yeah, for about a minute.
I remember you being in uniform, but you were a dancer like Fudge. You were a dancer like Fudge. Now, she had two college bachelor degrees from Queens College, one in theater, dance, and the other in Spanish. Then she went on to get two masters in reading and the second in masters in administration and supervision. Then she got a certificate from Harvard University Graduate School of Education, and she got another certificate from Theaters of Action from the Harvard Principal Institute. Then she went on to become an elementary school teacher, a bilingual teacher, a principal, and then she was asked to be on the superintendent, and she will explain that to me because I don't know all about the curriculum and all of that. See, I'm telling you, I started reading these bios, and I thought, well, I haven't done anything because these divas have done all the world. I've been busy, you know, traveling the world, singing and dancing and trying to direct and all this stuff, and these divas have been doing all the work. So welcome. Daryl, say hello before I welcome everybody.
Hello, everyone. It's such a blessing to be able to reconnect with everyone.
Oh, it's a blessing
Thank
to have you.
You. Really
hello.
Yeah.
Hello. You know, yes. I want to thank you all. I know that a couple of you, particularly, and I'm going to call her out, Makiba, was like, what? But I am convinced, I'm hoping at the end of this that she understands that this is going to be more fun than pain. So one of the things I want to ask you, you had the opportunity, and think about this, everybody, because this is going to go down the line, but I want Makiba to answer first. That opportunity to be asked this, what question would you want me to ask you about yourself? What would you want me to know about you, say that I don't know now?
You know everything. I guess for me, it would be more about my seminary experience. When I was in seminary.
Yeah. What about, you know, because that's a phase that I didn't travel that with you. So what made you go into the seminary section of that section of your life? What made you go into that?
I was always spiritual, you know, not so much religious, but spiritual, always connected with water and air and all that other stuff. But I went into seminary because I write, and I wanted to write correctly if I spoke or if I wrote prayers for groups outside of a Christian group. I wanted to have the right gods and goddesses in line, you know. Not everyone believes in God. Not everyone will say Jesus. And I wanted to go to a interfaith seminary to get all of those right nuances. So in case I did branch out or into trying to write a prayer for a Muslim group or something like that, I would do it well. That's number one. That's one of the reasons. The second reason was I was involved with a pastor, and I wanted to stay in conversation with her. And So I figured if I went to seminary, that would keep me in conversation with her. It didn't pan out like that in the long run, but those are the two reasons why I went to seminary. And I got more out of seminary than I ever thought I would. It was like therapy for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because we had to write reflection papers every day, peel back the onion, and that I got to a point where every paper, every reflection paper I wrote, my first sentence was, "Here I go again, peeling back the onion." And mm-hmm. it was 2 years of that. So it was like therapy.
I see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my memory of you all is very vivid. I just want everyone to know the reason why these women, and I knew a lot of women. Do you all remember Chestnut? Chestnut?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course. I could find her. I mean, there's so many other women. One of the things that we had in George Washington High School is no one really had a name. Everybody had a nickname, you know, or you called by another name. But very seldom did you call them by the official name. And one of the things that's really wonderful about knowing these women is that these women were the ones that exposed me to my creative side more. Not my officious side, because I was going to be an educator, and I was very determined, and I was going to be a singer, and I was very determined for that. But this creative nuance, the learning of music, different kinds of music, the watching these very creative women, watching them come into a situation where they would come to school with notebooks full of poems and thoughts. And it's something that I had never seen before, which meant later on in my life, when I was confronted with a creative process, it wasn't foreign to me. Now, they don't think, they've said to me, "What are you talking about? That wasn't, you know, that was who you were. I didn't realize, and you all didn't realize that I would be able to utilize that. So you are such a part of my foundation. And I want to say on air so that everybody can say that, from dance to education to poetry to writing to being aggressive to being brave, I thank you for that. I thank you all for that, because that was very important. Now, I want to go to Fudge next and say, Fudge, what do you want me to know about you that I don't know?
Wow, that's not easy, but I would say how much since I've retired, and I retired in 2013, how I enjoy travel. And I've been to four continents. I've been to countries I never thought I would go to. And I also love photography. So I've taken up two very expensive hobbies, but I enjoy them both. And I can't wait to go out and take pictures in all the four seasons, but also to take pictures as I travel.
All right. And when we were in school, because you came from music and art, correct? The first
right.
year?
Yes.
Yep. And I met you in the 10th grade. So you
yes.
were already artistically inclined. If you were, I was studying at Carnegie, but I was just studying voice. And Lindley reminded me that she would go to class with me sometimes, but so would you, Fudge, you know. I think at all of you, at one point in time, I drug you all up to Carnegie to my voice class. But what do you think, what in the arts, you were in dance, you did music, what influence does that have to where you are now doing the arts? I mean, you know, photography is a form of artistry.
Yes, it is. It is.
What
I would say that's what really connected all four of us, is that we were all inspired creatively in some area, whether it was music, dance, poetry, language, even Shakespeare, you know, when we had to study that in English classes.
Yes.
You know, so Darrell A. has a great story to tell about a student she had and how
exactly.
it influenced
I had that on board. I have that on board for myself.
Really,
so Darrell A.,
but
remember that story.
That's what connected us.
I don't know what student.
All kinds of music, I think, connected us all. And the art, I mean, to this day, I'm still running around to see plays, whether it's Broadway or
yes.
off-Broadway.
Yes.
I still enjoy the art. And I think that
yeah.
was our connection to each other.
Yes.
What do you think about Darrell A.? How did you went from gymnastics into dance, didn't you?
I actually, let me just backtrack a minute. The way that I got into all of the physical stuff was because as a young child, I was very sickly. And I had bronchial asthma, and I was allergic to all kinds of medicine. I was allergic, and still am, allergic to aspirin and penicillin and ampicillin. So I had a lot of difficulty breathing and running. I couldn't run and rip with my sisters. And so I generally was drinking tea and reading a book. And my mother found out from a friend of hers that perhaps if she put me in dancing school, it would help me with my breathing since I couldn't take the medication. And that's what started me off with dance, because I had to find a way to survive without medication and shots and that sort of thing. And so it propelled me in a direction that I had no idea that I was going to go into. But basically, dance gave me life. That's how I saw it. And so it went on from there. And I'm so grateful, because it's a way in which I've always been able to express myself, even with my kids, or, you know, having them to understand things through movement. That, and in addition to that, religion, because as the sister was talking about religion, I am Muslim. And spiritually, I began to grow because of the difficulties that I had with my breathing and my body. I had to find ways in which to bring myself to a place of peace and have an understanding of the things that triggered me to get sick. And so the combination of dance with my spiritual side helped me so much as I went through life and up till today, you know, and I was able to make my Hajj and go, you know, to Saudi Arabia and really solidify what my belief was, and also to continue dancing. And I do it around the house all the time now.
Ha! This is fabulous.
The story
that I'm going to ask you about later is the student that came up to you and recited Shakespeare.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so
yes.
in mind. Okay. All right. So we're going to come back to that, because that's a wonderful moment. Fudge, you remembered that, but it's the moment that I have written down in my notes, because I want people to understand the effect that we all had. And this, it's very interesting, because I think, you know, we came from a school that people probably of the arts would be as strong as it was, because usually you think that that's going to be a parochial private school, a specialized school, a conservatory school.
Mm-hmm.
But our school had such a concentration and so many really talented people in it. We could have been an art school. I'm glad we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we enjoyed the liberal arts, all of the academic subjects also. I remember, a lot of my biology teacher and general science teachers and how wonderful they were. But
mm-hmm.
I'm also very, very, very grateful for the introduction of the arts. Now, I'm going to go to Lindley, because, Lindley, I want you to start off with telling us that the name that I can't pronounce correctly. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, my name changed.
But then, all right, I want everybody to know, specifically Lindley and Debbie especially, would come with all these different wonderful lines of poetry and it could be lyrics. And I would just sit and look at them, because it's like people who knew Joanne knew that she was a great artist. I couldn't draw a straight line. I couldn't, if she could make paint by numbers look like a piece of artistry, I made it look like clumps of paint. I felt the same way about what you all brought to, my ability to write in that wonderfully flowing, transparent way was not there for me. It's come, but then it wasn't. And you all showed me that you'd come and something that you had thought about on the train or something that night before, something that happened, you all had done that. So Lindley was one of the first ones that did that for me. And so I say that, and now Lindley, you talk.
Okay. Well, let me start with, I have numerous names, and they're based on my incremental growth spiritually in various communities in which I sit. The name I think you're referring to is Efuntayo, and
yes.
That is a Yoruba name, as I am deeply involved in the Ifa tradition, in the West African tradition of Ifa. I was just given a new name, which is Ifa, what is it? Ifa Kayode. And, no, wait a minute, it's Ifa Lode, which means mother of the forest. And basically, that's because I work with a group of women, and part of what I'm doing is helping them to bring to the fore the divine feminine, which is in each and every one of us, including men, and to be able to manifest that in ways that uplifts their lives and opens up their sense of dreaming. And I guess that's what we're talking about in terms of the arts as well, because what art does is give you permission to dream a bigger picture than what is placed before you, to explore your imagination and to put it out in tangible forms, i.e. music, singing, dance, poetry, et cetera, art. All of it is a manifestation of what is divinely inherent in us, in a way of connecting with those outside of us. It's a bridge. It's a bridge that says, I'm human, you're human, namaste. So.
Well, now, given all of that, now that she's given us an education, everybody, you see where I'm going? what can you tell me that I don't know about you? What would you want me to know?
I've become more human. Let's see. In terms of actually doing things, my focus right now is in land back projects. I was working in Hawaii for a year, working with the indigenous Hawaiians, trying to get land back into their hands, trying to revive and promote the indigenous way of learning and teaching their young people. And I'm still involved with that. And now I'm also working in the Ifa tradition and also with some people in Brazil, because the Brazilians and their traditional ways, along with the rainforest, is under attack. So what we're trying to do is to preserve the traditions of indigenous people, which fundamentally helps to sustain the planet. And eventually, we're going to have to go back to some of that. And the Native Americans have always said this, and I think with the new generation coming up, they're looking for different ways of connecting with the land. The problems with the climate, they have to find new and creative ways of, having commerce and all of that, but yet in harmony with the land. And that is an ancient traditional way of being. So I'm deeply involved in that right now.
How did you bridge that from where you were in school to when you started that journey? What started you on that journey? The writing, the being genuine about your transparency of feelings. What started you? I mean, because we all knew that you wrote in school a lot, but
yeah.
I thought you'd be a published writer. But the spiritual part of you is something that is newer to me. It's not foreign to me because there was not a lack of spirituality. But it wasn't as strong as it is now. So what happened? What started you on it? Was there any particular?
I'd say each step I took was all a part of the path and the growth. And I think, I don't know, the writing, of course, was a way of expressing what I was feeling. And life in and of itself just deepened what I was feeling. And I see writing as one aspect of my creativity. I think human beings are creative and that there are all these avenues open to express that creativity. And I think that creativity is connected to your connection to source. So to me, it was just a natural flow. And, you know, there's going to be other projects that are also, you know, going to come up as I go through life. It's never ending. And writing is always a thread, because in order to communicate with someone else, if you can't do it verbally, you write. The book I wrote was an extension of spirituality and, you know, dealing with grief, which is a very human emotion. And it incorporated everything in it, therapy, spirituality, and just my humanity. So,
well, I think that all of you, all of us, have had some connection with the educational system. And if I'm wrong, let me know. The desire, I think, all came, might have come from, and I'm asking you all, for me, it just came from wanting to be able to replicate some of the wonderful moments that I had as a student. What do you think, where do you think we are now in our education system? And all of you, I think, if you weren't an educator, you were a social worker, so therefore there is that, if there is that connection of connecting with people as they become educated in systems and everything, where do you think we are, and do you think we've made any progress? Why don't you start, Makiva?
Well, first of all, I was an adjunct professor at the College of New Rochelle also for about 10 years, and I taught a course called Urban Studies, Urban Communities. That's what it was. And I taught in the South Bronx camp, and I taught adults just like me after work coming to school. I used to take them out on field trips. And I always took them to museums because they had very little experience outside of the South Bronx area. So, and I used to always tell them, grab your nieces, grab your cousins, grab your kids. Let's bring everybody, and to give them that exposure, because that's what I had. I had exposure. My father didn't, he used to tell me, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. You'll meet new friends. Yeah, and I still think that, I don't think that our communities now are so inclined. I don't believe that they are as aware of all the goodness and all the beauty and art stuff and the arts that are around them. And so we might have moved forward a little bit, but I don't think there's a lot more room for, especially for minority children and to be exposed to the arts in a greater way. And I'd like to be part of that catalyst. I grab all the kids I see. I live out here in Queens now, in Rockaway, and whenever I go someplace, if I know people that have kids, I always ask if I can bring them, take them with me.
What about you, Dallas?
I agree with her in terms of, I think we've kind of lost our way. And it is our responsibility to try to expose the children. I did the same thing as a teacher, taking them to a restaurant, because some of them had never been to a formal restaurant and didn't know why there were more than two forks on the table. But in addition to that, the cultural part of it is, one of the courses that I taught in college was cultural pluralism. And that is that, you know, there are differences among cultures, but there are also a lot of areas where there is sameness, and we may call it by a different name, like arroz con pollo or peas and rice, you know, peas and rice in both cultures, you know. Yep. I think that our society now has distracted children and adults in ways that we've kind of lost our ground. You know how when we grew up, our parents gave us a real foundation about things like the do's and the don'ts of life, the respect. I think some of that is gone, and it's taken away from children's ability to even want to know something about themselves, about the culture, about helping others. It's just now about an immediate hit for satisfaction. And I also think that spiritually we're not where we used to be, and so that kind of helps the society to stray away. But I haven't lost hope. I haven't lost hope in that the world that we live in now is so bad that people realize that they have to go back to their spiritual side. They have to go back to helping the neighbor, because when the stuff goes down, that's all you have is your family, the people close to you, extending yourself in kindness to someone else. That is what they know innately that is going to help them survive as a society.
Mm-hmm. Lindley?
Mm-hmm. Wow, I definitely agree. I agree. One of the things that I'm involved with the Ifa community is the development of rites of passage and in reinstituting that. And I am seeing some very powerful shifts and changes with the young people that engage in that. So I'm working on developing more of that and taking it into other communities. And I think that is going to be very helpful. We've lost a lot of people along the way, not just COVID, but drugs. And even those who missed that and went straight into industry, you know, they became very mechanized in their thinking, like everything is about making the money and the newest car, the best house, and all of that. And something gets lost in that. And one thing I've noticed since COVID, that was a time out for people maybe to ask themselves some deeper questions, i.e., what's important?
Yes.
You know, why am
that's
I here?
That's the only good thing coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah. You have a pause, you know.
Yeah.
God put a pause on it.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't run anymore. We couldn't run like that anymore. We had to sit still, and that was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. You
and
know?
I think that kind of meditation, asking, you know, who am I? What am I here for? What's important? I think young people, I have a great deal of hope. I do not think the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I think that sometimes, you know, you have to hit bottom before the phoenix rises. And I think that we're going to see with the new children, they're wired differently. They're not going to have to go through some of the things we had to go through. They have an innate GPS if they don't get crushed. And they're asking already the questions. They're already confronted with, you know, climate change. And that's a real issue. You know, can I breathe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is clean water coming from? So already they're going to have to plug into something deeper and more profound than what we had. Although I think most of us had a pretty good basis for being who we are. I know that I give a lot of credit to my parents, even though I disagreed vehemently with them during the process.
Yes.
But when I look back, I see all the pearls and the gems that they left for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we even go back further into tradition, then we look at what our ancestors have left us. We have a solid foundation, and we have a solid foundation to leave for the generations to come. That's what I feel.
Yes. I agree.
Fudge.
I just wanted to say that I agree with everything everyone has said, because I do believe that all of us came from a foundation of parents that allowed us to see beyond where we were. I know that when I was a child, my only where you're supposed to go, this neighborhood, They came from the segregated South and wanted to come North because they wanted their children to have opportunities they couldn't have in those states. So one of the things that my parents always did was they opened up New York City to me. And when I was 11 or 12 and could travel on my own, that meant at 11 or 12, you're on the bus and train by yourself, but I'm going all over. I'm going to see Debbie in her neighborhood and on the Lower East Side. I'm going to the Village. I'm going to Central Park. I'm going to Broadway. So the avenues were open. And when I was a teacher, whether that's being a teacher in elementary school or in college, I then realized that there are so many people who live in New York City that haven't been out of their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So one of the the principal at my school is, my class is going on a trip every month. 10 months out of the year, we're out of the building. We're going to see what New York City can offer them and what New York City has available to them. And that was the museum, the park, the zoos, all of those things.
Right.
And I did the same thing when I was teaching as an adjunct professor. It was exposing the adults even to just not the narrowness of their neighborhood, but what is the rest of the world like? You live in one of the most important cultural cities in the world. Let's go see it. Let's open ourselves up to it. And I have to give thanks to my parents for allowing me to have that type of freedom so that I could feel like, yeah, I can go anywhere in the world and enjoy myself and respect the culture of where I am because I was exposed at a young age.
I think one of the things that I was going to bring up also was our parents. Most of our parents were migrated from the South and wanted us to have a better life and allowed us to have the freedom of having that. Now, some of us might have had some resistance to their thinking as we all have gotten older. I know I realized my mother was always right. I used to fight with her about everything about under the sun. She was always right. She lived for me to say that out of my lips, and you should have seen her eyes. She was like, "What did you just say?" You know, to admit that. At the time, I just thought, well, you're just being old-fashioned. You're a lot of different things. But ultimately, I've come to realize that her point of view was a very authentic point of view. It really was. Now, I'm going to say this because I always get to this point now. We have only about 13, 14 minutes left, okay? I mean, because it goes, you know, fast like that. I built in about 5 extra more minutes in it, so we'll go over. But not too much because I got to get you all on Zoom and I got to make sure everybody gets there. Okay. However, I would like, first of all, I don't want to end this conversation without two things. I want to say the words Liberty House and Phoenix House. And
what was the last part? I didn't hear the last part. Liberty House and
Phoenix House. Phoenix House. Those are very important components when we were young. We were very young going to those places. They were the places of the especially Liberty House, where the revolutionaries were there. But I remember sneaking in with Fudge telling my mother I was going to do something else, and we were going there listening to people talk about the revolution. And we would be in the back.
All the poets
would be there. Yes.
Yeah, I remember that distinctly.
Yes. I just want people to know the wealth of what we had in that time and if there's any replication of it now. The thing that I want to talk about in the last few minutes is where are we now and how can we help our young people and what do we want to do what do we want to leave as our own footprint? You know, there's a page full of other questions that I have, but I know the time won't allow me. So I want to do that. I just want to ask one question. All of us were born in New York, weren't we?
Yeah, I was born in New York.
So we're all talking about native New Yorkers here. And, you know, I always say to people, I love people who are New Yorkers, who have come to New York and they have made New York their home from someplace else, and you are truly a New Yorker. I do believe that. But a native New Yorker is someone who grew up here and grew up in neighborhoods. Am I not right, or am I going a little crazy with this?
You are correct. You're right.
There is a group of us. There's a group of us that, you know, we grew up. It wasn't a place that we came to make a living, or that we came to get away from something else. We grew up here, and it's our home. I may not live immediately in the city, but it will always be my home. And I think that people have to realize that we have a love for it that's a little different. Because I think we have more hope for it than a lot of people who came, because their agendas were a little bit different when they came, even though they love the city. It is where we started our lives. We didn't continue anything here. We are living it now. As I work, even though I'm out of the city, I am always in the city working with everybody. And so I'd make that point because I think it's an important point. Because people will say, oh, I'm a New Yorker. And I go, yes, you are. But I'm a native New Yorker. And that meant I was raised on in New York City. Okay. And that meant I went to school on the train. And it was okay to go to school on the train and bus. And we had bus passes. And everybody, it was okay. All of that is a history that I don't think people realize. And I do believe that we need to be a little bit more proud of ourselves. That those of us who were natively born here, you know, in the city. Now, I'll say that, and I've eaten up a little bit of time. But one by one, tell me what footprint you want to leave at this point in time in your life. As life continues and you do more things, what are you thinking about? What do you think about you want to do? I'm going to start with you, Darla.
Well, I've got so many things. Right now, I'm in Arizona. Visiting my son. I have, for everybody, I have 14 grandchildren. So for...
Good God,
beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. They range, and I have a great-grand, another great-grand on the way. So I have spent the last 30 years visiting like maybe two or three times a year to where each kid is, so that to make sure that my grandchildren know me and know that the strength of a native New Yorker, because living in Arizona and living in Georgia is very different, and dealing with people is very different. So I'm able to give them some input about how to carry themselves and where some of their strength comes from and that sort of thing. But what I want to do for myself now is to make, I think I've fulfilled my dreams in that I taught, I danced, I sang, I did the things that I wanted to do for myself. Now I'm just focusing on laying foundations for my children and, you know, descendants. I've learned so much about my ancestry. I've gone back to 1743 with one of my ancestors, which is very difficult for people of color. And what I've been doing on these, isn't that wonderful? And what I've been doing with my kids is letting them know who they are, where they come from, what their, you know, what their ancestors did. And what I found out, and I'm going to get off real quick, is that the same people keep showing up in each century. Like, we had teachers in my ancestry. We had teachers who spoke different languages, and I studied a different language. I didn't realize the connection was so strong. Carpenters, which you still have, maybe now one of my grandsons is in a carpentry business. Some of the trades that we've picked over the years are not just because we decided to do it. There's something in our lineage that makes us become these people, you know, and police officers and that sort of thing. So what I'm trying to do is to get all of that stuff together so that my children, my grandchildren, really know who they are and why they are the way they are. And to remember the spiritual part of it that has been passed down from our ancestors so that they don't forget that.
What? Lovely. What about
beautiful. Yeah. That is beautiful.
Yeah. What
it's a
about
blessing.
You, Makiva? What about you?
Well, since I don't have any children of my own, I grab everybody else's kids.
I got nieces and nephews and kids from, you know, friends and relationships. And I actually have a writing group of little people, young people.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And mm-hmm. we just sit around and we write, something like we used to do at Liberty House.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and write. And when you said Liberty House, I talk about Liberty House all the time. Because there's one instance that I remember, and I'll do it real fast. We were all in the back with Yvette. And we were talking about, everyone else was writing Black Power stuff and all that. And I'm doing my love thing. And Nikki Giovanni comes in there.
I love her.
And she sits down.
Yes.
And she listens to all of our stuff. And mm-hmm. when I start doing my love stuff, of course, y'all were like, get over it, da-da-da, you know, y'all knocking me out. And Nikki said, and I remember this, she says, keep on writing love because that's what we need. Talking mm-hmm. about a shining star, I put a star on my chest and I walked out of there like, see y'all? See? I remember that. And I love that mm-hmm. story. And that's what I tell kids. I have kids that are around me that I try to tell them, speak in your own language. When I talk about spiritual stuff, speak in your own language. You're not going to be mm-hmm. the orator like the preacher up there, but pray mm-hmm. in your own language. Write in your own mm-hmm. language. It doesn't matter how simple it is because there's someone out there that needs to hear what you have to say in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
As simple mm-hmm. as it is, as simple, and that was a lesson I had to learn. I was supposed mm-hmm. to write like somebody else and
yes.
feel like somebody else. And Spirit told
yes.
me, that's not your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Write the way I give it to you. And I write this as simple as anything. Someone said, wow, this is really deep, but it's simple, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I try to leave that mark on people. Speak in your own voice. And like
yes.
I said, I got little people that hang around me, and we have a little writing thing. And, you know, I don't draw, but they think they could draw. Well, come on, let's get out. Let's get it all out. And mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And I'm very much involved with LGBTQ communities,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I try to get to the youth of the community. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're old like me, then, you know, you've been there, done that. But it's the youth
right.
that's coming out now in that community that I'm trying to get hold of just to harness them together and let them realize what power y'all got. Y'all got power. And let's just harness this and let's move forward in a positive way. It's not
mm-hmm.
all about the partying. It's not all about all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
something else. And that's what I try to do. And I'm on my own. I mean, I don't have an organization behind me, but I think it's going to catch on. And I'm going to, and especially out here in Rockaway, there are pockets of LGBTQ people out here with no real direction. So Spirit has told me, you're out here by the water, do work. And that's the work that I'm charged to do.
Pretty good. I didn't think that they had anything to say.
All right.
I'm gonna get you later. Don't worry. The video is coming. That's all right. I got you. So, what about you, Lindley?
Wow. There's so many places that we all overlap, which is the beautiful
mm-hmm.
piece here that I'm feeling and sensing. And when I think of Liberty House, I think of the underlying reason for Liberty House, which were people who were working on the plantation. We took them off of the plantation and sold their craft,
yeah.
you know, in New York and sent them the money. And so the underlying thing was upliftment. And, of course, we as young people got to utilize that to do poetry and workshops. And, you know, of course, there were teachers who felt that they were saving us.
yes,
I suppose they were,
yes.
except for
and
I don't
I
think we were that
sure
lost.
That people, I want to make sure that people understand it was craft, C-R-A-F-T.
Craft, yeah.
Yes,
because yeah.
sometimes
whatever they
would
build
craft.
With their hands.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. whatever they would build with their hands. You know, all of their artwork, So once again, art was involved, and art was a tool to get them out of the plantation rotation in terms of being paid so little for working land that's not theirs, which segues me right into what I'm about now, which is the land, honoring the land and honoring Mother Earth and getting back to the lessons that we get from that. So I'm saying my legacy is about reconnecting people back to the land, back to their traditions, and finding their spirituality in that. And so I see my footprint as, you know, they talk about the Rainbow Coalition. So I'm a bridge for those people who are ready for this next level of upgrade as far as being human. And part of that is to honor the planet, to restore her and humanity back to its original blueprint, which is love. And once we get into that kind of energy, we have it not only for ourselves, for the land, but for each other. And I think that is what's going to move this planet along. And we do it in infinite ways. Just sometimes saying good morning to the person who voted for Trump is moving in the right direction. You know, no disparaging against those who voted for him. But, you know, I live in the part of New York that is Trump country. And so part of what I do on a regular is talk to people. You know, I'm not going to let them sit comfortably in their bias and ignorance. I'm going to go out there, say hello, how's your ma, how's your pa, how's your this, and engage them in conversation so that they can, for that moment, let their guard down and allow something else to come in. So sometimes the footprint is just that small, but just that big.
Absolutely. Lovely. Fudge, I've left you for last.
Well, I just loved everything everyone said. Now, I have one daughter, but she doesn't have children, so I don't have grandchildren, but I have grandnieces and nephews. And the first thing I did yesterday was text on a family text that they just opened up a new Jackie Robinson Museum in downtown Manhattan, and we all must go. So I'm all about being gratitude and being helpful. And so even though I'm a retired teacher, like Debbie, like what everyone has said, I'm always around children. I'm always around young adults. I'm working with a Hattonville College on a gratitude quilt for all the frontline workers. So I'm always trying to do what I think is right in this society, and that is to continue to show love, to show gratitude, and to try to teach that to young people. So that, to me, is a very, very important part of my life's mission, and I continually do that on a regular basis.
Well, thank you. My regular listeners can tell that I've gone over the regular hour that I usually have planned, but I put a few more minutes into it because I know these women, and I knew I would want to hear what they had to say without really abbreviating it. And so I thank you all, the four of you, for really coming in and being so giving and so transparent. And we will continue this conversation. All of you have the Zoom link, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll take a five-minute break after we end this. And then we will resume on Zoom. I will be there waiting for you. But I will say goodbye to my audience now and welcome them. For next week, I'm going to have a town hall, and maybe a couple of the voices that are here may participate in it with some of the other people that have had the opportunity to be on the program. And the town hall is to talk about the arts in the arts. Some of the people are actors, some of them are executives, some of them are artists of different kinds, and we will have a lovely conversation next Wednesday, August the 3rd, on that in the town hall, and I welcome you all to come and listen to that. For this ending, I say to my friends, I am so proud to know you. I am filled with pride of all of your accomplishments. You make George Washington High School proud. You make me proud. I'm so happy that you're in my life. You all, the footprint that you all leave is indelible. And I want more people to know what we as a class in George Washington High School really meant, because I thought we were absolutely fabulous. And if I could somehow get us all together one time before we all leave this earth, this planet, that would be one of the things that I, as the former president of George Washington High School, the only woman that they've ever had, would like to have that happen. But with that said, I will say goodbye to you all until Zoom. I will say goodbye to my audience and thank them for always listening to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser, wherever you are, whether you're in Los Angeles, in Houston, Texas, in China, in England, wherever you are, and they tell me you're everywhere. Thank you, thank you, thank you for always listening. And I thank you for being here and listening to my friends. And these are the people who influenced me. So when you see something that I do, I give them credit. Don't give me all the credit. And so with that, I will see you another time. Thank you very much for tuning in to Lenny Godfrey Straight, No Chaser. Bye-bye.
This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight,